Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Scott Charlesworth.
Word.
Scott, how are you feeling after the movie?
Microsoft.
Now, it's very exciting. Big announcement. I'm sure everyone's wondering, my God, you guys have been recording in Ableton.
Yeah.
When are you going to go over to audition? And the move is happening next week, people.
Hopefully. I mean, yeah. Yeah, we're going to make the move, and hopefully our sound will get a little bit cleaner, a little bit more poppy, and a little bit in your face.
To our three fans who do consistently listen.
Which we adore and love.
There are many improvements coming your way. Maybe we're going to improve the theme songs and...
Yes, we're thinking content. We've talked about adding little... like little things here and there into the podcast, haven't we? Themes and little sounds and whatever. Anyways, we're all learning.
We want to jazz it up a bit.
Yeah, get a little bit spicy with you. Spicy.
So when I look at Bust Nuts, I don't look at it as a podcast. I look at it as a movie. I'm like a filmmaker.
Yeah,
I'm David Lynch, and I see a vision, and I want to grab that vision. Milk it.
Are you masturbating?
Yes, always. Whenever I pop on the airwaves, I'm just jizzing everywhere.
Well, Ben, something that I do jizz over is spookiness.
Okay, I was worried.
And the spooky film, because it's coming up to Halloween that we watched this week, is Monster House.
Because it's Halloween coming up, and we watched it, Monster House.
We watched Monster House.
Wow. Do you have a tale, any life stories? Not really anything.
Well, not really a tale, but more myself looking back to my childhood and going, damn, this movie came out in the period when I was playing Crash Tag Team Racing so much on my PSP.
Yes.
Like 2006, just a golden era, honestly.
Beautiful time.
Yeah.
Well, how about you throw me that cheeky little synopsis?
You do bloody want the synopsis.
I'm going to move my chair.
It's
in a bad spot.
You're going to adjust yourself?
Yeah, whilst you read the synopsis. There we go. I moved the chair.
Oh, sexy. Okay, so this movie is about three teenagers discover that their neighbor's house is actually a monster that hates children. True. Soon, they decide to destroy the heart of the house and kill it. That was a very average synopsis, but it didn't give too much away, which is what the last synopsis gave away for Con Air, I think. Or was it the one before?
Don't worry, darling. Yeah, I think so. Don't worry, darling. I think this movie holds up, man.
It really does. It
absolutely does.
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
I'm listening.
Doesn't this take you back to being at Nan's house when Halloween was around? Like, well, obviously it's always been around, but Halloween was on, and we're at our Nan's house for a sleepover, and we watched Monster House on the TV late at night. It was like came out at 9 o'clock or something, which is late for us as being kids.
Yeah, still late for me.
It's still late for you. Yeah, you are an early bird.
Yeah,
but we were just sitting there in bed and watching this on the TV in the old house. Just, you don't remember this?
No.
Bro, this was locked. Maybe it was just me, because I could have just gone over for a sleepover.
I think you're having another fever dream.
Well, possibly.
You have a lot of visions, and you see things, and you tell me stuff, and I go, Scott, you never
That was
rubbed,
not real.
You never rub spinach on your nipples
it's
and
a Mandela
ran down
effect.
The middle of Ultimo. You never did that.
What the fuck?
That's what you said to me yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Of course.
But that was a good memory, too.
That wasn't real, Scott. You never rub spinach on your nipples and ran down the middle of Ultimo.
Help me.
So you reckon it holds up, or you just reckon that it brings you back?
It brings me back, but it absolutely holds up.
So it pulls you back, but holds you up. So you're up in the air, but getting pulled in a backwards direction.
It's like I'm getting fucked by nostalgia.
Okay.
But it's bringing me forward.
So the movie's pummeling your asshole, but grabbing your neck and pulling you back into the darkness.
Yes, exactly.
Holding you up with their penis.
Yes.
Sexual jokes are funny.
Very silly, very crude and naughty.
Hit me with a point, naughty crude boy.
Well, this was a pretty star-studded cast, wasn't it?
That's what I was going to say.
Holy crap, looking back, you don't realise how many recognisable voices there are. Obviously, we had the star, the main star of Con Air, and the star of this
show.
Yes,
2 weeks in a row.
Steve Buscemi.
Hell yes.
Obviously, people know him for voice acting as Randall. I'm in Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University. I'm not sure how long was it between Monsters, Inc. coming out and this coming out? Because I think this came out after.
5 years.
Wait, so when did...
2001.
That's when Monsters, Inc. came out.
Yeah.
Incredible.
No, Monsters, Inc.
You're Incredibles.
Monsters University came out 2013.
Wow. You know what?
We had Boss Baby as well.
The best animated movie, yes. Yeah. We had two Pixar voice actors in this. What's his name that plays the guy from Alvin and the Chipmunks again? He plays Syndrome in Incredibles.
Oh, Jason Lee.
Jason Lee, yeah.
Really?
He plays Syndrome. I never does even he really? Piece this together.
Oh.
Pretty cool, eh?
He does too.
Yeah, and we also had Kevin James as the cop in this.
The greatest actor of all time.
Maggie
Gyllenhaal was in it.
Yes. So there's actually quite a few people.
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon, yes. I only know Nick Cannon because of Hannibal Buress going, Nick Cannon! on the Eric Andre show.
Fred Willard, who I mainly know of Modern Family, being Phil Dunphy's dad.
Yes, and he's also in...
Dead.
He's actually also... Yes, rest in peace. He's also a Pixar actor, and he's in WALL-E as the president. He plays the president when he's like, all right, we're shutting this show down.
You're having a fever dream because Monster House isn't Pixar, so I don't know why you're bringing Pixar up.
I'm just saying it's a coincidence that three Pixar voice actors.
Oh, you're such a Disney man, are you?
I am. I just made you Disney man.
Listen to Disney and you just go, oh.
But I
support Sony. Sony Pictures, all right?
Yeah.
They started off as radio Columbia. Company or some bullshit in the 40s.
Where does Columbia fit into this? Is that part of Sony or something?
Yeah. Oh, you don't even know your Sony companies. Man. Yeah. They even own banks, bro.
They do, actually.
They're in banking, bitch. What's Disney in?
Got their fingers on all the pies.
Nah, Disney really does. They got a tight grip on your taint.
I'm a bit frightened of Disney. I think one day they will own the world.
Yeah.
It'll be Elon Musk versus Disney.
So hot.
It's going to be so horny, honestly. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait for the AI battles.
Maybe a bit of Xi Jinping will be in there
Yeah. No. It'll be Facebook. It'll be the metaverse.
Oh,
it'll be a three-way war.
I can't wait to fight people in the metaverse and then get arrested for assault in the metaverse.
That was great.
Thank you.
Because that's totally going to happen.
Yeah.
So going back to the actors, I think all the acting and all the characters were really well performed in this movie.
Yes, yes.
Who was, let's just fucking go for it. Who was your favorite character?
Of course, it's gotta be Chowder.
Chowder?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm kidding. No, it's Skull.
It's Skull.
The greatest character of all time.
He is so good. No, but there isn't really a bad character in this. So I'm actually finding it hard to pick, but I know who mine is.
Who?
Obviously. It's Bones.
Oh, yeah,
it's Bones. Easily Bones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So out of Chowder and Skull, who are you going for?
Oh, I mean, that's probably Chowder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then out of Bones and Skull. Chowder. I think I'd still go for Chowder. Unfortunately,
enough.
Bones is at the bottom of my list, but not a bad list.
Not
out of
a bad
those
list.
Three.
Yeah.
They're the top three out of the whole.
And Nebbercracker is amazing. Steve Buscemi does that voice so well.
Yeah.
I remember being frightened as a kid watching this movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, people who listen to the podcast know I'm a bit of a pussy when it comes to horror movies, and you do especially, Ben. But.
I am a pussy, or I know.
Both.
Aye. Yeah, true.
Yeah, you are a vagina.
True.
But yes, this is where my intrigue into the mysterious, spooky world of Halloween's.
And basically ended there as well.
And ended there.
You watch this movie now. And you said, geez, horror's scary.
Bro,
anyway.
I've been a bitch until this podcast. Like, this podcast has forced me to watch some really mid-tier
We haven't even watched any proper... We watched Hush and Christine.
Midsommar wasn't that scary.
Oh, Midsommar, true.
It was scary, but it wasn't like... It was more like psychological. It wasn't like jumpy.
Yeah. And then I guess Platform was sort of thriller-ish.
It was full thriller.
Yeah.
I love thrillers.
I mean, next week's movie's also not jump scary, but that's going to be fucked.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. I guess we're still staying on the Halloween train for that, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it'll be before Halloween, won't it?
Well, isn't Halloween, that's the 28th or something?
31st.
31st.
Oh, this guy knows nothing.
Mate, I'm just like spitting out false things.
What do you think of the animation?
I love it.
You love it?
From the weird... Okay, the weird character design especially, I love the character design, but the movement is what really sets it apart from any other movie that was made in that era.
Just ever. I don't think I've ever seen animated characters move so fucking whack like that. So good.
Okay, I want to blow your mind right now. So you know movies like Tintin?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Well, they're all like motion capture sort of things and they animate on top of it.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain
it is. That was one of my trivia points.
It was?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Because I was like, oh man, this is like a mission in GTA.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way that they move and stuff, it's instantly recognizable as that art form.
It's so much better in a way, but then it's also not in a way.
Well,
depends what it is.
It suits this genre. Because you want
I didn't mean to say better. That better. Came out wrong.
Wait, what?
I didn't mean to say it was so much better. I was trying to say something else and then better came out. I was going to say like, oh, it's so cool. But then it came out as it's so much
it's okay.
better.
It's okay. You're doing well.
I'm backpedaling hard.
This is very unlike you.
I know. I'm usually a strong...
Dominant. Alpha yeah. man. You're a Sigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always a Sigma.
You are a Sigma.
Yeah, I am a Sigma.
Well, yeah, I love the Uncanny Valley sort of esque look of these characters. It's just so weird and it really fits into scaring the younger generation in a different way because obviously you can't push it too much. Even though this movie is edgy at times.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely is.
With wanking jokes at the start from the parents.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, I know what you're doing. You don't have to tell me. I used to stare at the Olsen twins through my binoculars.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Oh, that was great.
But also, like, even Bones' character, he's obviously drunk when he's walking over to Nevercracker's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, pissed off his head. Nevercracker, I'm on your lawn!
My favourite line from this movie, actually, is... It's really good, except I can't find it.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's wow, the cop says when the kids are trying to tell the cops at first about the house and the cops aren't believing. The guy says, they're just tater tots high on pixie sticks.
Hey, we do like those pixie sticks, I'll tell you.
I don't know if he says the words high on, but he says something on pixie sticks. Like,
those tater tots on pixie sticks.
Eating pixie sticks or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, so that was Kevin James and Nick Cannon, obviously.
Yeah.
They had a very good dynamic. That was funny.
They were great.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know what this movie does great? Is as soon as it introduces a new character that's like a side interesting character, then it takes it away. Another one comes in.
Yeah.
Like even the babysitter as well. What's her name?
Z.
When she came in, it's like, oh yeah, like this is another level entirely. We just had the Nebbercracker. Now we have Z and she doesn't believe her old mate. And
yeah.
All that. It's
her, character, as soon as she dances, you get a full feel for the goofy movement in this movie.
Oh, yeah. The movement was so off when she's dancing. We just looked at each other like, what the fuck?
A little character dance. Yeah. Damn. Rip
that pot plant. Oh, man. That plant did not deserve that fate, honestly.
No, that was silly. It got Z'd.
It got absolutely Z'd.
Yeah.
Dude, what about Bone? You know what actually struck me? I'm going to keep going back to this as a kid.
Do it, slut.
That came
love
out
it
of
when
nowhere.
You go back. You go back and get held up.
Yeah.
It holds up, but it goes back. Full circle.
That's not the only thing that's holding up.
What's holding up? Your penis? Or is that what you're referring to?
That was the joke.
Okay.
Yeah. When Bones is talking to Z on the lounge, and obviously they're drunk off their minds, before Bones gets eaten, him telling that story, me as a kid, it was like, oh my God, like the goofy guy is suddenly being serious, and that gives a lot more weight to the situation.
Yeah.
Like you kind of go, hold on, he's talking real shit. He's not just bullshitting now.
I used to be sad when he ripped up the little bunny, but then for some reason today when I saw it, I just laughed.
Yeah.
Because he just, I guess because he snogged the bunny, he's like, wait, it's a woman?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, holy crap, forgot that was in it. And he just starts ripping it apart, just tearing honestly, his relatable. Kid's dreams. You're just like slobbering on people's...
No, I go into like children's homes and get their toys and just destroy them and walk out.
Yeah, yeah. You are a upstanding citizen like that, aren't you?
I'm a home wreck. Well, you got to be bred tough these days. All these little softy snowflakes. Bitches got to get tough, and now I'm here to toughen them up.
That's right. You're the tough police.
They call me Steel Boy, the strong steel boy.
Or Real Steel.
Oh, there, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Damn.
That's a good
name. Can't wait to review that movie.
Yes, next week.
No, that's not the movie we're doing next week.
I've just changed.
I love his parents.
No, you don't.
I've forgotten the name of their main
protagonist. Mum and Dad, they were called.
Mum and Dad, but what was the main protagonist's name?
His DJ.
Kid. DJ. DJ.
DJ, yeah. Chowder, Jenny.
That's right.
That was your main three. Your trio.
Yes, the trio. Well, DJ's parents, I really like their little dynamic and absolute not knowing of the situation that's going on at all.
The mum thing about telling him that, tell your son that you love him.
Like, no, he knows that I love, he knows that I love him. No, tell him, give him a kiss. No, he doesn't need any more kisses. He just drives off.
That seemed relatable.
That was so funny.
No. Mum, when you listen to this, hello.
Yeah, no, that was so good. And Jenny as well. I think sometimes when you add a new character into the duo and becomes a trio, it can ruin the balance a bit, but she had a good balance with Chowder and DJ. She was like the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just liked that they were both trying to get
with her, but then she's like just weirded out by them the whole time. I don't normally hang out with boys like you, but you've got 1 hour.
In their room and
he finds the piss.
The piss bottle, and Chowder immediately blames it on DJ.
Oh my God, you pissed in a bottle? DJ, you're disgusting.
He's like, that's yours. Or what did he pretend to say? He didn't like Mexican food, and he just kept switching up, agreeing with it, whatever. I'm not stealing my dad's drugs, but you need to. All right, I will.
Yeah. Yeah. And then immediately you see him like snatching all the cough medicine under his jacket.
That's literally me around women. I pretend that I'm like a strong Sigma who like manipulates women, but really I just get manipulated.
I thought you were gonna say you around women is just stealing cough medicine from pharmacies.
No, I just get manipulated.
That's what you do on a casual Saturday anyways. That's what you do
for women, because they tell me to do it.
Yes.
And I say okay, and I just do it.
Damn,
I get manipulated.
What happened to your Sigma ability?
It was all the guys. It was all fake. I've never actually been Sigma.
Yeah.
I've only been manipulated.
What did you find about the plot of this film? Did you like the progression of how it went?
I really like Nebbercracker's arc.
Yeah, definitely. Very sad, actually.
Yes.
Super, super tragic. And it's good to have an element of realness in a crazy film like this.
I like that you feared him to begin with, and then you sympathise with him at the end.
That's right. You know, it paints a whole new picture of don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked also, I liked how they eventually, the monster house kept getting more and more crazy.
Yeah.
Evolutions. What was your favourite evolution?
Oh, definitely just before it came out of the ground.
Okay.
I like that the most, I think. What about you? What's your favorite? What's your favorite Goku Super Saiyan evolution?
Probably when it went Super Saiyan with the tree trunk arms running around.
Yeah. Oh, so the first...
it ripped itself out of the ground.
The first time, yeah. Not when it got smashed to pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. But you liked it before it got ripped out of the
ground.
I liked
it when it was actually a house.
Yeah, I like the subtle. Even just when it wasn't scary, it still looked like a face, sort of.
I'm going to give you a criticism of this movie, though.
All right, I'll throw you one after that.
Yeah. Well, I think the worst part of this movie, definitely for me, is the whole end scene of the, like, the battle.
Really?
I don't like that at all.
Okay.
The reason being is it gets rid of a lot of the scariness of it. Like, I know it's kind of freaky seeing a house with fucking tree arms come at you, but when it gets into the construction site, yeah, I feel like it just becomes like a cliche sort of action ending. And yeah, like they're climbing the crane, and suddenly Chowder knows how to use an excavator properly. Like, oh, he doesn't know how to use it perfectly, but more than any kid should at that age.
More than he did at first. Yeah.
And then they're throwing fucking dynamite around and stuff like that. So,
and Homie's just swinging across, whereas before they seem so much more vulnerable.
That's right. I think it gets rid of an element of realism out of this movie. I know it's a kid's movie, but
picture this though. It's a house.
It takes me.
That's a monster.
Oh my God. $1 billion idea now. Write it down.
Is that realistic? Is a house that's a monster really realistic?
The part of it being haunted by Nebbercracker's wife is like such a cool thing, but I feel like they take that away when she's moved away from her resting place.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much my only criticism of this movie is that whole ending scene. That brings down the score for me quite a bit.
Did you think, though, that that was a cool anime battle? Because I forgot
that. Oh, yeah. Top 10 anime deaths.
Yeah.
When Nevercracker was going up to the footstep.
Yeah. I thought that the battle looked cool, though.
It did. Visually, yes. I'll give it that.
But I guess I can't really argue it to a point. Yeah, cut that bit out.
Sorry.
No one wants to hear me, but...
Oh, I do.
Stop it, listeners. It was okay. I thought that it was pretty cool, though, them sliding around. I just liked the design of the destroyed house.
Yeah, like, that was cool.
It's like a massive kaiju battle.
It was. It actually was, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess they weren't... They didn't seem as, like, threatened anymore. It was like, oh, they're easily going to get out of this. The threat wasn't there as much.
Yeah.
My biggest problem, going back to Nebbercracker's arc, was I wish we found out a bit more of why he loved Constance. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me read this one. I think the only problem is we didn't see what really made Nebbercracker fall in love with Constance. If we saw his true love for her, it would have made more of an impact of why he struggled to let go for 45 years.
Yeah, this is true. Sorry, I interrupted you a bit there. But, I completely agree with that. There is a level of depth that we didn't actually get.
Well, it's sort of like at the level that we got. Why wouldn't you just fucking leave the house
or
blow it up yourself? If you already had the dynamite ready, I'm sure he's contemplated that for 45 years.
Yeah.
The only thing stopping you is what he said. Oh, she's the only thing that I have. You know, but we didn't really see why he fell in love with her. He just saw her in a fair and he just had guilt love.
It was like, he just felt sorry for her the whole time.
And that was such a quick moment. I think a lot of films that we talked about this year have this problem where they have this mystery and then they get to the point where they reveal the, like, you know, the plot, why this is all happening.
Yes.
And then they never give us enough to say why it's happening, that it just creates more questions. It's like
it doesn't give enough depth to the reason that this character is doing this.
Yeah,
thing.
Or it's not fulfilling enough. But yes, I just thought
fulfilling is exactly the word I would use. That is, yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Obviously they did have a very special connection, but it's like he discovered her in a cage and said, Do you want to get out of here?
I'll drive you in your cage to an empty block of land.
Yeah, why didn't he knock her out of, like, get her out of the cage?
Yeah, I don't know. Why do you keep her cage?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be like a dark part of your past?
But her falling into the pit and getting covered with cement, though, wow, that's pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah. All of that was great. I just would have thought the meeting scene, like 30 seconds you could have added there.
Yeah.
Of... why he wanted to be with her. Like a little thing of him going up to the cage maybe and saying, oh, you shouldn't be in here, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he takes her out and rescues her, basically.
Yeah.
That would have made everything else 10 times better.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, it's just the little things, isn't it?
It's a little dirty stain on this beautiful gem.
It is a gem. Honestly, I would recommend this to any parent that's watching and they've just had kids or something. You know, educate them with this, because this is one of those movies that will stick with them for a while.
Yeah, top-notch humor.
Top-notch humor. It really is. It's just zingers left, right, and center, especially Chowder.
Yes.
He's so funny.
Which is now why I introduce you to our next segment. Chowder's shining moments.
Oh, yes.
I'll go first.
Okay.
The basketball scene where he says that there's 3 seconds left to play on the clock, and then he proceeds to, like, play around with it for an extra, like, 10, throw the basketball at the hoop, and it smacks him in the face.
That was so funny. I was actually shitting myself in that scene. That was great.
And what about laughing? Were you laughing as well?
I was.
Nice.
I was pissing myself, I should say. Not shitting myself. I wasn't scared.
What's your... All right.
That was a good moment.
All right, let's go tit for tat, baby. Chowder shining moments.
I think one of the greatest moments for Chowder was when he was going up to the house.
Yeah.
When he was trying to get his ball, and he was commando crawling on the grass. And he was just like, look at me. Rings the bell and fucking just, yeah.
Oh no, I found a bottle.
he's so funny. Oh my God.
My next one is, we already talked about when he's trying to impress Jenny. Yeah.
Yes.
When he's in the car, the police car, they're all in the police car and it's getting Aiden.
Yep.
Oh, no, it gets picked up, sorry. And he says, holy shit, I'm having a stroke. He doesn't say
holy shit. He doesn't have holy shit, but yeah, no, goes, that's
great. Oh, God, I'm having a stroke.
All right, I think my absolute favorite Chowder scene, though, is definitely his introduction when he gets hit by the car.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then, like, the parents are just so nonchalant, like, oh, okay, it's Chowder.
Yeah.
Like, this has happened before.
This idiot again.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I have any more shining moments. He's just a shining moment.
He really is the whole time. And we know that Chowder's going to become Skull eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Skull was great when he goes back and eats the chocolate.
It's so festy. Oh, it's the dude who plays Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, John Heder.
Yeah, he's great.
He's also in that new Pinocchio movie with
what?
Not the Tom Hanks one, no.
The next one that's coming out.
No, not the
Because there's heaps of them out.
Yeah.
Not there's too many Pinocchios.
Guillermo del Toro.
Is it a live action? No.
He's not in that one. He's in the fucking one that had all those memes.
Oh, hey, that Pinocchio. It's like, see you later.
Yeah. What was that's so silly.
That looks like a good movie. We should review that very soon.
I don't know what that movie was called. Something. The one, what's his horse called? He had a horse in that shit as well.
Question. Oh, no, Disney haven't lost the rights to Pinocchio yet.
No.
So I was having a conversation with someone the other day about... No, I think it was with Kurt, actually, talking about Winnie the Pooh, the new horror movie.
Oh, the horror one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And how Disney did have the rights to Winnie the Pooh for a while, right? And they've lost them, like the 100-year lease or whatever, or something that happens after a creator dies. And if it's to you, like the rights are given to a company, then after like 100 or something years.
Something like that. Something happens. I mean, there's been a horror Pinocchio from the 90s as well.
Yeah, true. But the Pinocchio's weird though, because they've had lots of different companies and franchises use it before.
Yeah, heaps.
So it's very much, it must be like a free use thing already.
At the moment, yeah, I presume so.
Which is interesting, yeah. So, yeah, that's why there's obviously that many Pinocchio movies. And I guess we'll see that with a Mickey Mouse movie eventually, because his contract's going to run out.
Yeah.
So we could get a Mickey Mouse horror film.
Oh, wait, no. No, he won't.
No, I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Even though he's under the Walt Disney name.
Isn't Mickey Mouse, though, owned, like created by Disney? Was Pinocchio based but I off think a book?
It's like a copyright. It's a copyright. No, thing but under it's, your name.
If you own the character, if you made the character, then they would have rights to that forever. Surely,
I don't think so.
How this world?
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, but they'd have rights to Mickey Mouse. I don't think.
Oh no! So no, everyone will have rights once the contract's up. Nah, then because be
Pinocchio was based on an existing property, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that a book?
Let's research this again.
Everyone's just fucking like, what are these idiots on about?
What are they talking about? We're on a podcast for Monster House.
Oh, true.
I just totally lost it then, eh?
That was, yeah, Nebbercracker, come on. I didn't like his, I wish there was a bit more Constance. Oh, yeah. She was fucking weird as well, by the way.
She was strange. She didn't seem like a very nice lady. I can't blame her, though, for being teased her entire life, but...
I guess. Damn,
lighten up, you've... Your man's just building you a house.
Honestly, like, just, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Ah, God. I couldn't stand it.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
You know, before this podcast, we said, oh, when we switch to Audition, there's a thing where you can edit out silences, but we won't need that.
No, because we can create those ourselves.
Yeah. Oh no, edit out silences. Oh yeah. Twit.
I'm on your lawn, Nevercracker.
And I feel like we've had a lot of silence this podcast because we've been aware of it.
Yeah, we've just been purposely doing it the entire time.
Any more things? Skull's a goat.
Nothing. I've covered pretty much all my points.
Yeah, it's
here.
Just a funny movie. I guess when they're a funny movie, you just sort of talk about the funny points.
Two things I will say, though.
Okay.
This movie is incredibly underrated.
Yes.
It doesn't get talked enough, at all enough.
No.
And the second thing is, I can't believe it's almost 20 years since it was made. 16 years ago.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
16 years.
Pretty sure, 2006, so like another 4 years, it's 20 years, right?
No.
No?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so yes. So it's been out yes, for 16 yes, years. Yes, 16 years, wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Fucking hell.
I thought it was like way closer to 2010, but obviously not.
Trivia time? As of 2018, this is the only motion capture film to feature an entirely original story and not be based on existing source material.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know as of now, but that's since 2018.
Since 2018. Very still interesting. And I like, once again, I will say I really like the motion capture feel. It works for kids' horror.
It looks so goofy to begin with. And once you're 5 minutes in, after that sick opener,
yeah,
you're chill. When Nevercracker comes in. I just don't get as well, why did he... Oh, but you know, I was going to say something dumb. I was like, well, why would he break her tricycle? But he's just sick of people threatening their lives. He's
like, you
fucking dumb little girl. You get off idiot. My lawn.
Get out of here.
Close-ups of Nebercracker. There's actually some good shots and like cool transitions in this.
Yeah, they definitely were.
Polaroid.
What about, actually, now that you've just mentioned it, the dream that DJ was having with the hand of the shadow coming up.
Oh, yeah. And, like, that
going to grab him.
Yeah.
And the things of like the house calling him and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Wow, we've just opened another little can of worms.
I like the Polaroid of the trees, and then it zooms into the Polaroid, and the next thing you know, that's the next scene, or when the house is all angry looking, and then it's basically going back to normal looking, and then the camera pans around and goes through the crack just before it shuts.
Pretty hot.
Little things like that.
That's what makes the movie shine, really. Attention to detail.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very, very good of you, Ben.
Next trivia point.
Please.
Takes place in 1983.
I had a feeling that it was taking place in the 80s because of the cars that were used, the clothing. You know, you don't see corduroy pants like that anymore. Now, you do see them, but not like Chowders.
Yeah.
Chowders were just 80s to the T. Also, Bones, he had like the classic metalhead sort of kit.
Yeah. Chowder's line, DJ, did you piss in... Oh, DJ, you piss in bottles, had to be redubbed to you pee in bottles to help maintain the PG rating.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a few things like had to be dulled down a bit. I think they were going to have bullies in it as well. But then they're going to... And the bullies were all going to properly die and all this shit.
Wow. They're like, because I thought Bones and the cops were going to actually die.
Yeah, so did I.
Originally, they would have, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't really have any lines after their... Or major lines, at least, after their deaths, in quotation marks.
But then they did an end credits scene where they saved everyone. Yeah. And we're all chill. So that was lucky. My Letterboxd review for this is, this movie gave me hope that fat, sweaty gamers can get hot goth chicks. Because Skull gets Z.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? There is always hope. You just got to keep on trucking, baby.
And someone's already liked it. How cool is that?
That's so...
Follow me on Letterboxd. I'm called HoundDog42.
You've just outed yourself.
And this is the last one. This is a really obscure fact. For the German version of the film, Bone, Skull, and Chowder have been renamed to Punk, Freak, and Ketchup.
So they were censoring Bones and Skull.
I guess so.
But Chowder?
Chowder to Ketchup.
But just because Germany doesn't like chowder or something?
I don't know.
Or they don't have any clams there.
Yeah, or corn. Bones to Punk. I mean, it's basically just weird.
Yeah.
Skull to Freak. He's called Freak, but Freak's not cool because Skull was like, oh, his name's Skull.
Skull.
Then it's just changed the whole meaning of that scene. Oh, his name's Freak. He's cool.
What, you know what's funny about that? We were watching the Seth Rogen thing, like Freaks and... he was talking about Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
On his little GQ interview. Yeah. Well, they do call the dudes the Freaks.
Yeah.
The outcasts.
I guess so.
In America.
America. But he wasn't an outcast. He was cool.
He was cool. Cool was the gamer.
Letterbox time.
Ah, yeah.
Diamond Bolt says, I cannot hear the word uvula and not think of this movie. 4 stars.
Actually true. I always thought it was Epiglottis or something.
What?
You know, that's what I thought the name was. But
Emma says, she died doing what she loved, waving an axe at children. 4.5 stars.
Respect.
Beautiful. And Ray says, man should have just put up a fence. 4 stars.
True, yeah.
Would have solved a lot of issues, I'm sure.
But maybe the house didn't want a fence. Mm. It would have just sunk. Maybe he did put up a fence and it sunk the fence down into the ground. Because it can do that with the signs.
It wasn't there originally, a fence, though.
I don't know, but, you know, there could have been a fence in between that period of... The 50s and the 80s.
True, but did you see it?
No. No proof.
Score time. Who's first?
Me. You can go first.
Giving this, only because of the Nebbercracker thing, a 7.5.
Pretty respectable, I would say. I think that's a nice score. I'm going to give this a nice, solid 7 out of 10 nugs. That's the score I'm giving this movie.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number 1. Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number 2.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number 3.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. All with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.